It is good to have you all here. I appreciate you bearing with us. I really do. And we're going to continue the series tonight entitled How to Stay Close to Your Kids. Last week we talked about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we talked about treating our children the way we want to be treated. That the issue is not how was I treated as a kid, but how would I want to be treated? Go and do likewise. And I shared with you last week the importance of not living by how you feel. Not doing these things because you feel like them or because your children deserve them, but because this simply is the right thing to do. And mastering your emotions and mastering your will and do it because it's right. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about what is a perfect parent. And I ask you to be thinking this week about what you thought I might say the perfect parent is. I remember when I first became a parent, and even before, in the months leading up to becoming daddy, I began thinking about, you know, how I just couldn't wait to be a dad, and I was determined to do everything right. Doggone it, I'm going to get this right. My parents may not have, but I'm going to get it right. And, you know, I had this goal of being the perfect parent. That is, the parent who simply does everything right and doesn't make any mistakes. Well, you know, I did pretty good till the third child. I'm lying. You guys are really gullible. It's really, really cool. No, really, I did. Everything was perfect. I never made a mistake until the third one. Well, I made mistakes the first day we brought them home. And you know, it's a hard thing all of a sudden to realize that, well, I guess, you know, I don't know everything I thought I'd know. But as time went on, to be honest, that, you know, there's the simple little mistakes you make, and then there's the big things you do. Then there's the really mean and nasty things you do, like, you know, losing your temper. There's like saying things that you wish you could take those words back and you can't get them back. They're really hard sometimes to go look yourself in the mirror. It's really hard, actually, what I find happening with many parents, what is our tendency to do in our relationship with our children, is to just pretend, what's wrong? I didn't do anything wrong. One of the most freeing ideas ever to dawn on me as I read my Bible was this. I learned really early that I could not be a perfect parent, but I could be a humble one. And so when somebody asks me, what is the perfect parent is a humble parent. The perfect parent is a humble parent. And by humble, I mean they're willing to admit they were wrong. They're willing to admit they were wrong. I have a good friend, doesn't live here, lives in another state. He has a number of children, and one of his first children was a daughter. And some time ago, I was visiting with her and another close friend of hers, and she said, you know, and this is a man that I, you know, grew up respecting. She said, I never remember my dad once ever admitting he was wrong. As long as, like, everything he always did, all of his ideas, they were always right, and mine weren't. Nothing will create more bitterness and resentment and animosity in your relationship with your children than your unwillingness to fess up, to admit you were wrong, to admit you made a mistake, to apologize, and to seek to change. I want to read a verse to you out of Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. It says this, he who conceals his sin does not prosper. But whoever confesses, confess means acknowledge. Whoever acknowledges and renounces them finds mercy. Another version says, whoever hides their mistakes will surely be a failure. But whoever admits them and turns from them finds compassion. Finds compassion. One of the greatest things you can do in your relationship with your children is to acknowledge that you were harsh and ask them to forgive you. To acknowledge that you were wrong, that you jumped to conclusions. I remember, I have a number of examples to share with you tonight to illustrate this. Some, you know, I had to make some up. It's kind of hard, you know, a guy like me. This happened, this particular event, it's a graphic event. That's why I thought I would use it. There have been many small events. This particular one was a big event. I was, I don't know, this must have been 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And we have, down our basement, we have like a family room, a TV room. And I was upstairs on the couch and I was reading or just sitting there looking at the paper or just sitting there. Who knows? I don't remember the exact details. All I remember was I heard this loud crash and scream simultaneously. I jumped up. I knew it was my youngest daughter that was screaming. And I heard this loud wailing, and then I heard a choir of loud wailing. More than one. And they weren't in harmony either. And I flew to the stairs, flew down the stairs, and all I saw, all I took in was my little daughter, my youngest, laying in a pile of glass, blood coming from under her hands, and my son saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And I just, I assessed the situation, I automatically knew what happened, and I just had a conniption fit right there. And I just looked at my son and said, "What are you doing? What'd you do to your sister? Her hands may never work again. You know, look at this. What were you thinking?" And I, you know, I only made matters like 1,000 times worse. It was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. I debated even whether or not to tell you. But anyway, now you know. And I don't, you know, but my daughter needed immediate attention, and my wife came running down, and I'm glad she came down. And my son, in the meantime, hung his head and went over to the couch in another part of the basement. And now I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, you are the biggest, things I won't say, you are the biggest jerk that's ever lived. You know, I mean, you stupid idiot. When will you ever learn? You know, this is going, you know that your son would never deliberately hurt his little sister. I mean, I knew that about my son. But this moment, at that moment when I said, I didn't care. And now you've made matters even worse. If you didn't feel bad about the glass, you devastated his little spirit. And, you know, I wanted to die. At that moment, I just wanted to die. I wanted to resign as dad. I wanted to decide, you know, I'm really not even worthy to be your father. I just kind of wanted to walk out. And, you know, probably at the same time, I wanted to make excuses that I was justified too for, you know, the stupid thing that just somebody did and provoked it out of me. That's really easy to do. And I knew, you know, if I don't do something right now, if I don't act on this right now, this is going to have a terrible effect in my relationship with my kids. So I my wife was taking care of my daughter, and I went over to my son, and I mean it, you know, I'm not sharing it with the emotion I felt at the time. I was really devastated, you know, that I just do something so stupid, and that I hurt my son. So I went over, and he was crying, and I sat down by him, put my arm around him, and I started crying. And I said, "Jeremy," I said, "you know, I was really, really out of line. I know that you would never do anything to hurt your little sister. And what I did was wrong. No matter what happened, what I did was wrong. Would you forgive me?" And he said, "Sure, Dad," and we hugged, and I held him. And then after everything calmed down, he said, "You know, Dad, what happened was we were cleaning up the room, and Jessie was walking up the stairs, and I didn't know she had the glass, and I came up behind her and tickled her, and she slipped, she dropped the glass, fell in it, and, you know, and I jumped to all these stupid conclusions." There have been other instances in my relationship with my children, maybe much smaller instances by comparison, Maybe just a harsh word that was spoken, or you, some people might not even think it was harsh. But I know, you know, that wasn't right. Maybe it was the inconsiderate way I gave a command. Maybe it was the thoughtless way that I asked for something to be done. An example, last weekend, my kids, my older kids, now they hit these teenage years, their weekends seem to be really busy. And for me, it's real inconvenient. Because, you know, when I do 3 services a weekend, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it. I need time to think. I can't have a lot of commotion around the house. A lot of times they want to have friends stay overnight. And I balk. I've balked at this. Last week, they went to this party and they had to be there at a certain time on Saturday night. And Saturday nights, I just kind of like to wind down and get focused and keep focused on what's ahead of me the next day. And they needed a ride. So I took them, but I took them begrudgingly. And they knew it was begrudgingly. I mean, me, after I share about treating others like you want to be treated. You talk about a double-edged sword in the back. So I'm driving back home, and I'm thinking, you idiot. You know, Mark, when are you going to learn? When are you going to learn? And then, you know, I'm thinking ahead to next week. Next week, you're going to talk about humility. And I realized, I got my kids together a few days later, and I said, you know, kids, I want to share something with you if I could. I've been thinking about my attitude. You know, I gave you a ride, but I didn't do it cheerfully. I did it begrudgingly. And I want you to know, first of all, that my attitude was wrong. And I'd like you to forgive me for my attitude. Secondly, I want you to know that I also need to change. You can't help it that a bulk of what I do as far as the speaking is on the weekend. That shouldn't have to rob you of being able to do the things that you do with friends on the weekend. And I'm sorry, and from now on, within certain reasonable limits, whatever you guys want to do, I'll try to tailor my schedule around the friends that you want to have over, or whatever. I'll do my best to accommodate you. I felt God wants me to change in this. Now, I don't know about you, but in 19 years of living at home, I never, ever, once had that kind of conversation with my parents. I don't know if you did. You know, you maybe did. And for many of us here, we maybe have never had a conversation like that with our own children or our own spouse. But you and I have got to understand that you don't lose respect when you admit failure. You lose respect when you continue stubbornly going on in your own way and you blame others for your mistakes. And we are a society, just like I told you last week, there are some cultural nuances about America, but one of those is doing what we feel instead of being principally centered. And one of the others is blaming everybody else for our stress, for our problems, and that they provoked us. And we're classic examples of that when it comes to family life. It's so easy to blame our explosiveness on the fact that the kids are insensitive, that we had a long day, and they're being a little noisy, and we guys just shut up in there. Well, hey, I'm sorry, I had a hard day. All you had to do was go to school and come home, and I take care of everything. And maybe we don't say it, maybe we think it. Maybe we convey it. There may be times in our lives when we've been unfair, we've been unjust, and we know we did. We know we were. We need to go get it right. We need to treat those children like they're adult human beings and sit down eye to eye and apologize and make it right if you want to stay close to your children. And that's really what's at stake. If you want a tight, close relationship with your child and you want them to grow up respecting you and valuing your relationship, then one of the most important qualities to that relationship will be the willingness to admit that you're wrong. Let me just share a couple other things with you. Always acknowledge when you're wrong. Say you're sorry. Ask them to forgive you. And always be willing to listen and learn. James tells us that let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Be quick to hear. For me, the way I'm made up, it's just the opposite. I'd be the first one to admit that. Quick to talk, and then quick to anger, and real slow to listen. And it's taken God's help and a willingness to admit, hey Mark, you need to change. And a willingness to grow. To flip that around in my life. But the payoff is tremendous. Let your children talk freely with you and tell you what bothers them about you. Now, this is another thing. This is a big deal. This is a big thing. I want to ask you, have you ever sat down with one of your children? You know, they have to be cognitively aware to do this. Well, I'm not talking about your 8-month-old baby. Oh, sweetheart, is there anything Daddy could do different? Yeah, she's not going to say a whole lot. But you might have a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all 20, 25, however. Have you ever sat down with one of them and said, you know, and by the way, I want you to know this, I do this on a real regular basis. I sit down with my children at individual times, and number one, I've said, well, you know, Celeste or Jeremy or Jesse or Mike or whoever I'm sitting down with, is there anything that I've been doing lately that seems like a rut to you? Or that if you could, you wished it would be different. You wished I'd change. You could share with me whatever you want. There's an open door here. And occasionally they have. Many times they go, no, Dad. Not anything I can think of. Now, kids tend to worship us as heroes anyway, so you have to be rather aggressive in this, or, you know, nothing will ever change. They have to know that you really mean it. And one of the ways they know you really mean it is when you ask and they tell you something, you just don't go, well, you know, I think you misunderstood that. That? Come on. My goodness. It's my personality. Let me or leave me. Well, hey, you just slammed the door. There we go. Door slammed. Okay. I guess Dad doesn't mean what he said. Mom doesn't mean what he said. Let me diverge just a moment. Have you ever done this with your spouse? I do this on a real regular basis with my wife. And I mean that honestly. Don't let pride wreck your life. Be aggressively humble and you can anticipate the best of God's blessings. And you can anticipate the best of other people's affections. When you're willing to change, when you're willing to grow, when you're willing to learn. About 5 months ago, I was trying to figure out a way to come up with a little more money in our budget. And so I came up with two ideas. Number one, my daughter and my kids, they were going to promote to their black belts. They're all in karate. And when they do that, there's a $100 fee for a new uniform. But they went and changed the uniforms from red to blue. My kids already had blue ones. So I'm thinking to myself, gee, let's just add a black belt to your already blue uniforms. You know, maybe this is Dad's, logical Dad. I don't know. I love my kids. I wanted to honor them. They worked hard. But I thought, you know, maybe I'll honor them some other way besides just getting a similar blue uniform. And then I said to Kathy, I said, you know, Kathy, something else I've been thinking about. All these vitamins you take every month, you know, and you're giving to the kids. I don't mind if you take them, but we're all healthy. You feed us pretty good, and the kids don't seem to have the same problems. So how about we just not give them to them anymore? Well, these two things greatly bothered my wife. Um, We did not see eye to eye on this. So, I proposed these ideas, and she went in the other room. I think it hit her, you know, emotionally, because she's thinking, Mark, our kids have worked so hard, and I see it away as honor them, and I see it as dishonor to them not to even want to get in these uniforms. And when you interpret it that way, gee, you know, it makes a big difference. And then, you know, Mark, I really believe that these vitamins are making a big difference, and they have made a huge difference in my wife's health. That's another story for another time. So, anyway, she went in a room, she wrote me a letter. Dear Mark letter. And I'll take it. You know, hit me with your best shot. Like the song says, that's fine. I want to learn. So she wrote it, she explained it to me, and she explained her thoughts, and she came out and said, Mark, would you read this? And she went and did something, and so I read it. And then I sat there and had all these thoughts running through my mind, you know. And then I thought, you know, she's right. From her perspective, she's right. It's only money anyway. And I believe God wants me to do what her preference is instead of what mine would be, and die to myself and put her interest before mine and the interest of my children, even if maybe I don't see eye to eye on this particular thing. You develop that kind of dialogue with your family, and I promise you a revolution in your family and in your relationships. Let me show you another passage out of Matthew chapter 7, the words of Jesus. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me get that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? First take the plank out of your own eye, and you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I can't tell you how many times God's brought this passage back to me. As I'm looking around my family, and my wife, I'm honing in there, I'm looking over here, and man, this plank looks huge! And then in the quietness of my own soul, the Lord points to my plank. That, Mark, you've got the problem. You've got the problem with your attitude. You've got the problem in your spirit. You've got the problem in your perspective. Now, get it out, and then you'll be able to be a real productive help around here. Have you ever asked yourself, what do your kids say behind your back? That's what they really think. Can they tell it to your face? What do your kids say behind your back? What do you tell their friends? Well, you know, I think about that. And ask yourself, can they tell it to my face? Can they really sit down and honestly tell me what they think? Do you even care? Do you even care? Proverbs 15:31. Let me just, so much going on, I forgot it. So I'll just quote it to you. It's from the Living Bible. It says this: if you profit from constructive criticism, you'll be elected to the Wise Men's Hall of Fame. To refuse criticism is to harm your own best interest and to destroy your own life. One of the most important aspects of humility and benefits is allowing those who are close to you, and particularly your family, to be able to honestly tell you what they think. Now, you know, they may not always be right, but when there's no fear in that relationship, 1 John tells us, perfect love casts out all fear. So know this. If there's fear between you and your spouse, if there's fear between you and your kids to you, you've got a love problem in the home. But when there's not, there can be openness. My daughter came up to me. Just let me share with you. I think this is openness. One of my daughters came up to me. And she said, Dad, is bastard a bad word? She said, I used it in a sentence today. I was wondering if it's a bad word. I said, well, yeah, sweetheart, it's probably an inappropriate word. You know, it's used in a real derogatory way, and usually people mean it in a derogatory way. He said, oh, okay. That was that. You know, man, I would have never asked my parents that. Where did you hear that word? How dare you? Give me some soap. Yeah, that may be a dopey illustration. You know, there might be worse, you know, things that you could, maybe your kids need to talk to you about, but they're afraid. And you know why they're afraid? Well, one, they're afraid because of peer pressure. That because everything around us outside the home is trying to separate kids from their parents. But often one of the biggest reasons they're afraid is because of the way we've reacted before. And you know what, Mom and Dad? I know you love your kids. You don't even realize some of these things. I'm trying lovingly to hold the mirror up to you today. You don't even realize this big ugly speck on your face. It's all over. You got mud all over your face. You don't realize it. It's just such a habit. It's just so ingrained with you. It's so much the way you act, your sarcasm, your criticalness, your negativeness. It's so pervasive. We don't even realize it. If we just do some honest, humble introspection. See, God, where can I change? Where can I learn? Well, often the best way you can find out is just sit down with those you live with. Just saying, listen. How can I change? How can I help our relationship? I ask my kids if there's anything they'd like me to do differently. I don't ask them only if they have advice for me. I ask them if there's things they could do differently in the way I deal with them. It also sets a great example for them. You see, this will end up being a two-way thing. I have a tremendous lever. Tremendous leverage in my relationship with my children, because when I have things to tell them, which you do as a parent, I have their ear. I have their ear. Because they know Dad's not an arrogant pig. They know Dad understands, and I've seen Dad in his weakness, in his failure. Weakness and failure is okay, but we don't try to live in that weakness and failure. We try to go on and grow and change. We don't spend our life making excuses. When we fall on our face, we get up, we acknowledge it. If we need to ask forgiveness of those around, we ask forgiveness and we move on in a positive direction. That sets a tremendous example for your children. I just want to close this evening by encouraging you in these things. Be committed to humility, to change, to learn, and to grow. This will keep you close to your children. They will respect you. Be humble, admit you're wrong, and change. Now, nothing will lose respect faster than admitting you're wrong, I'm sorry, and you never change. It's been my privilege this last week, four different men with four vastly different struggles, but all of them doing irreparable harm in their families. All of them, one involving violence, one involving drugs, one involving pornography, and another involving something I forget. And all of them hit the wall in humility. They quit making excuses this week. And they decided, hey, I need to face this. Not too long ago, I remember with one of these spending 3 hours with this guy and his wife. And all these things just came out. He's able to give them hope. He's able to finally come clean with some of these issues, with all of them actually. And then make progress in a positive direction. And he won the respect of his wife. Because for years he's just been making excuses. He's just been making excuses. He's just been not been serious, you see. True humility means we not only acknowledge we're wrong, but we're really serious. We want to attempt. We want to grow. We may fall down again. That's all right. We get up. We acknowledge it. And we move forward. That will change your family. But always be committed to grow and improve. Your kids will appreciate you and be drawn to you. Now I'm going to do something tonight I don't usually do. I'm going to give you an assignment. It's an easy one. You won't need to write it down. I think you all have a good memory for this. Because I have a feeling you're all going, gee, I wish he wasn't talking to me tonight. So I want you to think of one thing. Some of you could put 100 down. I want you to think of one thing that you need to ask your kids forgiveness for. And I want you to go to them tonight and admit you're wrong and ask them to forgive you. All right? Now, if you're not having children, then do it with your spouse. And if you don't have a spouse, you don't have children, then I want you to go talk to your roommates. Second thing is I want you to sit down with each of your kids separately. Separately. If they're old enough. And if they're not, do it with your wife or your husband. And ask them what thing they think you could do that would make you an even better husband or wife or mother and father. What thing could you do? What could I do to improve our relationship? What is it that you've been wanting to tell me that you've been afraid to tell me? If they say, well, really, nothing. Well, let's make up something. Just so I can grow in humility. And can I be honest with you? Most of the phone calls that I get related to marriage are all about what I'm talking to you about tonight. And men, if I can just be honest, man to man, always remember that man's greatest enemy is not lust. It's his pride. Pride destroyed Lucifer. And it's the greatest tool he uses to destroy men. And it's the reason most men would rather be lost for an hour than simply ask somebody for directions. And I have watched more marriages self-destruct because of pride. I've seen it in females as well. And an unwillingness to admit, hey, you know what? I'm the problem. My harshness, my belligerentness, my thoughtfulness. Oh, you may have great excuses for it, like her. She's not an excuse. She didn't deserve to be treated that way. God's command to us is to husbands, love your wives. And wives, God's command to you is respect your husband whether you think he deserves it or not. And we're to love our children. Those two assignments. Think of one thing. Maybe it was something you said the other day. You know something else? If I can just share this with you, then I'll close. One of the other things is some of you may be thinking, well, Mark, man, I'm not demonstrative like you. I've never flown off the handle like that. All right, fine. But I can also tell you something about me. I'm a very affirming guy. And a lot of you here may not be demonstrative, but you never say anything really affectionate and affirming either. So I'm talking about not just what you have done wrong, but what you haven't done right. I'm not only talking about things that shouldn't have been said. I'm talking about things that should have been said for years and haven't been said. That's just as wrong. It's just as wrong to have never said, sweetheart, I just want you to know you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I am so proud you're my little girl. It needs to be said. And if you've never said it, you quit making excuses for it. The Bible tells us to give honor where honor is due. And your children deserve that. They deserve that. Otherwise, you mark my words, and I know some won't. Whenever you have an audience this size, some are going to walk out here and go, that was bogus. And you won't do it. That's fine. You'll pay the price. And God doesn't want that for you. And neither do I. Next week we'll continue the series. We'll talk about, we got two weeks left. All right? And please come back because I promise you the things you hear, they will affect your relationship with your kids and greatly change them if you do them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight for your faithfulness. Thanks for redeeming this night. Lord, I ask you to help me. I don't know what everyone here will go home and do, Lord, whether they do this or not. But I'll tell you this, I'm a desperate man. I realize, Lord, that without you, I'm mean-spirited, harsh, self-centered, critical, negative. The list could go on and on. I need your help. I want your help. Frankly, Lord, I'd like to be the best father that ever lived. But I know that I need to grow. I ask you to help me to grow. I ask you, Lord, to help me to continue working in my relationship with my children. To help me to walk humbly with you and humbly with them and humbly with my wife and humbly with my fellow man and fellow woman. Help me, Lord, to grow in humility. Help all of us, Lord. Help us to be honest. Oh, God, just help us to see the blessing of honesty. We don't have to be phony. We don't have to keep wearing our mask and wear our facade. Real change can happen if we're willing to admit where we're wrong and move forward. Bless each life here, Lord. Bless each family. Bless each marriage. Bless each parent-child relationship. In Jesus' name.